Wait, click this one. That really bugs her. You know, have you ever, you know, people should not, should never, ever tell me what bugs them. You know that? They should never do that. Ever. Turn your Bibles, you will, to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5. Isn't that right, William? Don't ever tell me what bugs you. Yeah. Yeah, amen. Yeah. Yeah, we'll have a spandex day. That's kind of a private joke. All right. Starting in verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 5, it says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall rival you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuteth they the prophets which were before you." I want to take a look at the Beatitudes tonight, and I've not preached on the Beatitudes, I don't think, but maybe once in the 20 years I've been here. And I thought that it'd be good to do something a little different tonight and take a look at the Beatitudes, what they are, and what they really mean. And if you take a look at verse 5 or verse 3, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You know, to be poor in spirit means that you are at your lowest point spiritually. You are at the bottom of the barrel, so to speak. You know, you can't get any lower spiritually than what you really are. It means that you're ready to do anything to do to make things better. You just, you know. And I had a man in my office one day, and he was going to commit suicide. And, I mean, he was poor in spirit. He really was. And he was at the end of his rope. And I told him, I said, "Do you have any friends?" He says, "No." I said, "Well, let me tell you about a friend that sticks closer than a brother." Took him through the plan of salvation, showed him how he could have the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And I said to him, I said, "Wouldn't you like to have a friend like that?" And he looked at me with tears in his eyes. He says, "Yes, I would." And he bowed his head and he prayed right there and he asked Jesus into his heart. He reached into his pocket and he pulled out a .38, laid it on my desk. He says, "I won't be needing this anymore." And he took and he walked out of my office and he left. And the sad part about this was about 3 weeks later, I got a phone call from the Mesa Police Department. And they said, "Are you Pastor Storm?" I said, "Yes." He says, "Do you know so-and-so?" And I said, "Boy," I said, "that name's familiar, but I can't put a face to him." They said, "Well, we found your card in his shirt pocket. And here it was, the guy that I had led to the Lord. And he had been murdered." And you know, I got to thinking about that, and I thought, well, you know what? I know where he is today. You know, I know where he is, and someday I'll see him again. But poor in spirit means that we are searching for something. We can't find it on our own. And our inner soul is so not in peace, and we're looking for peace, and the only one that can give it to us is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we then are heirs to the kingdom of heaven. Amen? You know, Titus 3:7 says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The next verse it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." There's a twofold meaning of this verse. We are to mourn for those who have died for those who have lost loved ones. And we're to mourn for those who are lost spiritually and are going to hell because they have no hope of eternal life. Jesus said that we shall be comforted when we're sad over lost ones. You know, being a pastor, you know, it's really hard many times, and Brother Echoes can kind of chime in on this, but, you know, when you have to do funerals, you know, that's one thing that I don't like to do is funerals, but you have to do them. And it isn't quite as bad as if you do them if you don't know the people, but when you have people in the church that die who you've been with for 10, 15, 20 years, and I mean, they're just part of you. I mean, it just tears a person apart. And you weep, you mourn. You mourn their death because they're gone. It isn't that you mourn where they went because you're glad that they went where they did because more than likely they went to heaven. But you mourn because you're going to miss them. And we need to take and we need to do that. Verse 5, it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Meekness is patience in the reception of injuries. It is either meaningness or a surrender of our rights or cowardice. But it is the opposite of sudden anger or malice or long-armed vengeance. Christ insisted on His right when He said in John 18:23, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" Even though Jesus was being beaten, He showed meekness and forbearance of spirit. You know, Jesus could have called 10,000 angels, couldn't He have? You know, here He is. He's being tried for something that He didn't do. He knew that He was going to go to the cross. He knew what was going to happen. But He didn't. I don't think He knew the beating He was going to go through. I mean, here they are. They're beating Him. Just hitting Him in the face. Pulling out His beard. And yet He still had meekness about Him. You know, what we need to realize is that we need to have the same meekness as what Christ did. And if we do, we're going to take and have the affection for those that we need. Verse 6 says, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You know, Jesus is not talking about a physical hunger here. He's talking about a spiritual hunger. What He's saying is those who have an inner desire to read the Word of God and pray and ask for God's guidance, they will be filled. I can remember when God called me to preach. I can remember it as it was yesterday. We fell out of the sky 400 feet in an airplane. Amen? I can remember that without any doubt. But I can remember laying there on the ground and a verse came to my mind. I'd never memorized it or anything else, Isaiah 41:10. And that's my life verse now. But as I was laying there, I thought, you know what, God, if You spare my life, there's a reason, and I'm willing to do anything that You want me to do. When I got out of the hospital, the first thing I did is I got home, I opened up my Bible, and I sat there, and I started reading from Genesis all the way through Revelation. I had the Bible read one time through in less than 3 months. That's reading pretty fast. I couldn't absorb enough of God's Word. So you know what happened when I got to Revelation? I shut it, I turned it over, and I started all over again. I read through it again. I read through the Bible 3 times in 1 year. 3 times. Why? Because I could not get enough of God. And I had read the Bible all my life. You know, I was in a Baptist church. I was a deacon. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was an assistant pastor. But you know what? I didn't have the yearning for God's Word like I should have. Amen. Amen. You know, I didn't have that inner desire to just get down and dig in God's Word and see what the Word of God had for me. And you know, that's what this is talking about, is blessed are they that are hungry and thirsty after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, that's having a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. We need to take and have a hunger and thirst for God's Word. We need to have a hunger and thirst for what God has for us in His Word. Verse 7, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Being merciful means to help those who are in need. You know, we operate a food bank here at the church, don't we? Well, you know, it's not only the food bank that we see happening. About a week ago, I got a phone call from Pinal County Sheriff's Department, and they said, Pastor Storm, we're out at a family disturbance in Magic Ranch up in that area up there, Santan. And he says, we got in the house and there's no food. They got 4 kids and there is not a can of beans in here. The kids have not had anything to eat other than what they get at school all week. Is there anything you can do? This is about 7 o'clock at night. I was getting ready for bed. Man, I go to bed at 8 o'clock. That's why we have church early. No. But I said, okay, I'll meet you down at the church. So I came down and I went in. I opened up the ground box, opened up the U-Haul. Got 4 great big boxes full of food. And had them sitting there. Squad car pulls in. Loading him in the back seat of the squad car. He looked at me and said, man, he said, I can't thank you enough. I said, well, I said, if they need anything else, let me know. And I said, we'll make sure we help them out. And he took off, and the next day I got a phone call from the sheriff's department thanking me for everything that we did. Listen, that goes a long ways. You know, let me tell you something. That's what it means. That's what it means to take and have, you know, a merciful heart. You know, we need to have mercy on people. You know, many times people will be down in their luck and be poor, and we've been able to help them out financially a little bit. We don't have a whole lot to give people, but we help them out a little bit. But that's showing mercy. We need to show mercy to those who need it. You know, as I was doing this, I was thinking of Brother Matt, and I am so glad that we have a food bank and that we get furniture and stuff donated. Yeah, they live a little ways away, a long ways away, but you know what? We're going to be able to take and get it up to them. We're going to be able to, and it's going to be a blessing to them, and we need to show mercy to those who need it. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, it says, and whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Wow. Can you imagine just giving a cup of water to a child in the name of a disciple? Not even in the name of the Lord, just in the name of a disciple, and you won't lose your reward. Verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, that is, whose mind, motive, and principles are pure? You know, who seek not only to have the external actions correct, but also who desire to be holy in heart and who are so. You know, man looks on the outward appearance, doesn't he? But what does God look at? God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart of man. He looks at what we are inside us. You know, our motives need to be pure in everything that we do. If we have the wrong motives for accomplishing what we're trying to do, then you know what? We're doing everything for the wrong reasons, aren't we? You know, God will not bless us for us to be happy. He will bless us for helping those who need it. Verse 9, it says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." These are the people who do not pick fights. Amen? You know, they're the ones who will step up in and try to defuse a bad situation. You know, that's why we have police officers. You know, they never were called police officers until just the last 40 years. They were always called peace officers. I can remember them being called a peace officer. And I always thought, well, why in the world do they call them peace when they're throwing people in jail? Amen? But you know, they would always step in to break up a fight. I can remember when I was in law enforcement, the many fights that I had to break up and things like that, and I'd come home with, you know, blood on my uniform and bloody hands and bloody knuckles and everything else, you know, you just have to take and go in and take care of business, amen? But people who pick fights are not peaceable people. You know, if you take a look at many of our children today, they're not peaceable kids. They're not, by any way, shape, or form. They do not have any peace in their hearts at all. When we get children in from other schools, public schools, charter schools, it doesn't make any difference. I'll tell you what, they are not peaceable children. They aren't. You know, they would rather fight and everything than they would get along with anybody. Verse 10, it says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." To persecute means literally to pursue, follow after, as one does a flying enemy. Here, it means to vex or oppress one on account of his religion. They persecute others who injure their name, reputation, property, endanger, or take their life away on account of their religious beliefs. And I'll tell you, folks, I just praise the Lord we have the president we do today. I really do. Because if someone else would have got in there instead of the one we have, we would be in religious persecution right now. In fact, if you look at Hollywood and some of these places and how they are persecuting Christians right now, it's just astronomical. You know, through the ages, there's been hundreds of thousands of Christians who have been persecuted for what they believed in. You know, they've lost their homes, their family, their wealth, their reputation, and in many cases, their lives. And, you know, I look at this here and I think of our forefathers. Think of Ben Franklin. You think of John Hancock and the guys that signed the Declaration of Independence. Why did they want a new country? Because they wanted freedom of religion. They wanted to be able to worship as they pleased. Many of them lost their families, they lost their fortunes, they lost their homes, and some lost their lives. Why? Because they were fighting for the freedoms that they wanted their children and their children's children to have. You know, I believe that these will have a better reward in heaven because they gave their all to God. You know, I always look at Fox's Book of Martyrs. I don't know, how many of you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? I have. I'll tell you what, you read that, and you know what people went through over the ages and how they've had to take and be martyred for the cause of Christ. Verse 11, it says, "Blessed are ye when men shall rival you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake," or for my sake, I should say. In Matthew 5:12, it says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." You know, this is when people talk bad about you. You know, people say, "Well, you're a preacher. Nobody ever talks bad about you." Really? When we make fun of you for being a Christian, when we make fun of you for who you are, you know, we need to take it and just go on and don't let it bother us. In 1 Peter 2:23, it says, "Who, when he was rivaled, rivaled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." You know, we need to realize this. We need to realize that, yeah, being a Christian is not an easy road. We're going to have bumps. We're going to hit chuck holes. We're going to have problems in our life. Because there's nowhere in the Bible does it say when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior that you will never have another problem. Did you know that? Nowhere. Huh? Yeah, just the opposite. And I guarantee that you're going to have problems and there's going to be difficulties coming in your life because of who you are and what you stand for. You know, we need to take and rejoice exceedingly when things come into our lives that we don't like. Why? Because the Bible says, "For great is your reward in heaven." You know, the more we're persecuted, the more reward we're going to have in heaven for that persecution. You know, so many times I sit here and I scratch my head and I go, "Lord, I really don't know why I'm going through all this. I have not got the slightest idea why this is happening. But I know you're putting it here for a reason, and I won't know probably the answer until I get to heaven. But there's a great reward for me to go through it." Amen? When we go through bad times, we go through persecutions in life, we just need to remember the ultimate goal of this is what we're going to have when we get to heaven. You know, God has got all kinds of rewards for every one of us when we get to heaven. And we need to take and remember that. You know, the Beatitudes were given to the disciples. And I believe that the Lord wanted them to understand that later in life they were going to have to live by these in order for them to get through the things that they had to. You know, we were talking today in the high school class, and they asked me, they said, "Well, who was the, what disciple lived the longest?" And I said, "Well, John did because..." What's that? Right. And then I asked them, I said, "Well, who was the first one that died?" "Well, that was James." Well, you know, you take and you think about that. Here the disciples, they were following Jesus. You know, they thought, you know, Jesus is going to set up his kingdom. We're going to be the inner 12 who are going to take and rule the kingdom. Well, the kingdom didn't come, did it? Not yet, anyway. James was the first one. Then you just go right down through them. Every one of them were martyred. Every one of them. They were all killed and gave the ultimate sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. What's that? Yeah, he might have. No, they're not positive. Well, he was submersed in hot oil, And then he was put on the Isle of Patmos. They tried to kill him with hot oil, and it didn't work, so they put him on the Isle of Patmos. So, but we need to realize is that we need to just keep going forward, keep our head down, and I guarantee that God is going to reward us in the end. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for tonight. Thank you for all that you've done for us. I just pray now that you'll be with us as we go our various ways. Bring us back again Sunday to our appointed place. I just pray that you'll help us to realize that we need to take and live like the Beatitudes. We just pray that you'll guide us and direct us in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you are dismissed. If you need food, see what